ABC Radio Australia.
A lot has been written and said in recent years about China's growing presence in the region, its increased diplomatic development and business activity. A new paper from the Australian National University suggests the media is set to become one of the main areas of competition between China and Australia in the future. One of the authors, Deng Huazhang, says that China has significantly increased its engagement with the Pacific media in recent years. At the same time, Australia has been criticised for dropping the ball on the issue. Dr. Zhang spoke with reporter Jordan Fennell.
To me, I think the Chinese government, they have attached more attention to this region, and the Chinese leaders, they mentioned that it is important to tell the China story well to the overseas audience. And obviously Pacific has become part of this target. The big background is that since the year 2006, the Chinese government has increased its engagement significantly with Pacific Island countries.
And why exactly, though, is the media the biggest point of contention for this in the Pacific? Like, why has China chosen the media as its way to do this?
The rationale behind the Chinese media activities or increased media activities in the region is that the Chinese side believes that they have done a lot. For example, they have conducted a lot of the foreign aid projects in the region, but they lag behind in terms of the media outreach to the Pacific audience. So that's why they think it is important to step up Chinese media activities in the region and to reach out to the Pacific audience on what the China have done in the past 2 decades.
And what sort of strategies does China have when they're dealing with that media outreach?
I think we can categorize the Chinese media activities in the Pacific into 5 types. And the first is that China has expanded its own official media presence in the Pacific. For example, the China Television's The English Program and also the China Radio International have also opened their operations in some of the Pacific Islands. And the second type of the Chinese media outreach, the Chinese diplomats, especially the Chinese ambassadors, they have reached out actively to the local Pacific media. For example, they have written a lot of the articles on the local media newspapers, and also sometimes they will organize interviews by the Pacific journalists. And the third type of the Chinese media activities in the region is to sponsor the Pacific media delegations to visit China and also attend some short-term training. And the other two include funding some media projects, such as the media room in the Fiji's parliament, and also strengthen the engagement with the local Chinese media.
And it's quite extensive, that media reach and those strategies that they have. Do you think that the media playing field will become another geopolitical playing field?
I think this is a really good question. My impression is that, we all know that in recent years, the geostrategic competition between the traditional powers, such as Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, and China as a new player has increased in recent years. But to me, I think that China's media outreach or activities have taken place prior to the start of this new round of the geopolitical competition. That means regardless of, for example, Australia's response to China's media activities, China will conduct its media operations. But the thing is that sometimes circumstances that China may intensify its media activities. A good case is the COVID-19. Since the outbreak of the COVID-19, and the Chinese government, they have conducted a whole-of-government approach. And in the Pacific, we can see that the Chinese government, in the local media, the government, they emphasize a lot on what China has done to help these small island countries.
Now, you've talked quite extensively about China's strategies in the Pacific. Obviously, Australia is there as well and has strategies of its own. What can you just tell me, I guess, in general about Australia's approach in this media playing field in the Pacific?
I've learned that the Australian, because in recent years, the Australians have made some budget cuts and which reduced Australia's media presence in the Pacific. And some analysts argue that this may affect Australia's influence in the region in the area of the discourse. But I think in the longer term, we have to wait and see. To me, when we talk about the influence of the external players in the region, whether Australia or China, I think the perceptions of local Pacific Islanders really matter, whether Australian strategies or media strategies or the Chinese media strategies, they have prevailed.
And what you know at the moment of the locals' perception of the two different countries' strategies, Australia's and China's, who do you think is winning that competition?
Based on my observations and the research, I think actually to the local Pacific Islanders, there are different groups or types of China to them. For example, we have the Chinese government engagement with the Pacific Island government. And also we have the growing presence of the Chinese companies. And also we have the a growing number of the small Chinese businesses in the Pacific. When we talk about the influence, whether the Chinese influence or the U.S. influence or the Australian influence in the Pacific, I think in the end, it will be determined by the local perceptions, how the local Pacific Islands, they perceive the external players. And that's why I want to emphasize that it is important for us to do more research on this particular area.